Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Last few weeks working on a home project, thanks to Lowe's, a do-it-yourself project. The bar cart looks great. You can see it on Twitter. Get inspired, do it yourself at Lowe's.com. He was a columnist for years and years at the LA Times, covered the Kobe Bryant Shaq Lakers, covered Michael Jordan and the Bulls for the Chicago Sun-Times, a columnist, a reporter. And then he decided to make a real difference. He became the director of sports journalism at Northwestern Medill School of Journalism, which in our business is, you know, kind of the North Star. And I spoke to his class recently, and I just tried to not screw up because they're all smart kids, and I'm just, you know, I'm a public school kid. That's all up there and stuff. But J.A. Adonde is now joining us, and a really smart guy and a guy I like to talk to in a great American city, Chicago. So I said something the other night before we knew if players were going to come back, and I took some heat in social media, but I said, listen, this platform – don't let somebody hijack it. You've got this platform, two networks talking about Black Lives Matter. If you relinquish it, then a bad actor could take it over. Like when you get these massive platforms and you, we're not seeking perfection, we're seeking growth in our communities. I thought they should go back and play basketball. I got some pushback on it. Do you think it was the right decision to come back and actually play?
I think so. And first, Colin, I do want to thank you for joining our class. That was a great session. And, they are maximizing the platform. And the problem that you get into is when they stepped away, part of the discussion, it shifted from issues in Kenosha, Wisconsin, for example, and it starts to focus on, are they going to play again? When are they going to play? Are they going to resume? Are they going to cancel the playoffs? So the problem when you're doing things in the context of basketball is that the conversation tends to gravitate towards basketball. But I think they have effectively brought attention to this and basically let the country know, this is a crisis. We can't continue as normal. We need to stop and take a break because this is a crisis in our community, in our country, that needs to be addressed. And I think this got that point across, that this is a dramatic emergency that cannot allow business to continue as usual. And in that regard, I think it was effective. And you saw how it spread to the other sports, Colin.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. Joy talked about this earlier. Baseball's got 8% African-American inclusion. And they're all in. Hockey, all in. Tennis, all in. Some of these are considered sort of elite sports, not right. Terribly historically inclusive. For you, does that matter?
It does. And it shows because this is an American problem. And part of this issue is that it's been framed as a Black problem. And we have to ask ourselves, I've said all along, the question we have to ask ourselves is how do we feel about agents of the state killing and shooting unarmed American citizens, not Black, white, regardless. These are American citizens we're talking about. And the sooner that we can get the conversation in that direction, I think the greater you will see fuller investment, the way you saw the entirety of the NHL, for example, last night, shut down for a night, and more baseball teams get in on the act, and even the women's tennis tour get in on the act.
It's interesting. You covered Michael Jordan and the Bulls, and Michael was more reticent in terms of political activism. But I do think we've had it from Ali. We had it with Billie Jean King, Jackie Robinson. It's been part of my life. But there have been. Tom Brady is pretty reluctant with politics.
Yeah.
Michael was. Go back to the NBA you covered in Chicago. Were there political players? Michael wasn't, but or does the league feel much more political now? Or, by the way, J.A., is it just LeBron? I mean, James Harden doesn't want to do politics. Giannis doesn't talk politics. Is this really just LeBron? And the league back then was mostly like it is now, guys that like basketball, business, their families, and didn't care much about politics.
I'd say it was a mix. It's always has been a mix. I'd say there's a broader amount of players today who are outspoken and willing to address these issues. You know, on Michael's own team, you had Craig Hodges, who was very outspoken on African-American issues, you know, even including when they went to the White House for one of their championships, he had a letter that he delivered to George Bush with some issues that he wanted to see President Bush address at that time. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf in the 90s, Chris Jackson, the former Chris Jackson, you know, refused to stand at attention during the anthem because of religious beliefs. So you had some of these same issues. I would just say the climate at the time in the 80s and in the early 90s was not the same as it was either in the 1960s or it is today, where there is just this encouragement and almost expectation to speak out on issues.
You know, it's interesting with your young students. You know, we always tend to say, oh, yeah, these colleges, they're just all socialism and they're all liberals. But the young people you talk to, if you've asked them about these issues, where do they land politically on this stuff? Are they all left? Are they all pro player? You tell me what you're seeing and hearing from your students.
They're not necessarily all engaged. You know, I give them the option every week for the class I had this summer, write about whatever you want. And a lot of them wanted to write about sports. Even with everything going on, they might want to write about, say, the Cubs bullpen issues. I teach a class, Sports and Society, that I taught in the fall. And one of the students in that class just told me this week that it really motivated her to want to address these issues through the lens of sports. And that was very satisfying to me. They're not all on the same ideological space. There is variety, but there is a lot of the energy for this movement that we're seeing, Colin, is coming from people their age. And so that there is this revitalized energy among young people, but I wouldn't say they're all of the same mindset and that they're all putting social justice issues at the forefront of what they want to discuss.
There are a lot of Americans that will say, listen, I have a hard job. I hear people talking politics. I just want to go to get my sports. It's escapism. And I hear those people. And there's a part of that. I remember years ago going to a concert in Vegas. It was U2. I like U2. Mm-hmm. And there was a concert. And they had some political statements during it. And I was okay. It was like 4 minutes of the 90 minutes. And I remember thinking driving away, it was okay 4 minutes. But what if it had been 14? What if it had been 24? So what would you say to people? And there are a lot of them. And I don't want to be condescending to those people that, like, listen, man, sports is escapism for me. I am kind of worn out by it. Is that what do we say to those people?
Well, for one thing, if you shouldn't just treat these athletes as strictly athletes and players, they're people. So you have to think about them as people. And then you have to take into concern what matters to them. And what they've made clear in particular this year and this summer and even since the restart in the NBA bubble is that these issues that are affecting their communities, where they're from, matter to them and are at the forefront of their minds to the point that it makes it difficult to even play their sports, you know, what they do best. And it's hard for them to do what they do best right now because these things are at the forefront. And I think you have to take into consideration their concerns and what matters to them. It's not just about what you care about. Even if you pay for a ticket to go to a game, it's still the totality of these athletes that you're watching, and they are a part of their communities. And so you have to consider them a part of the community, and you have to engage and be a part of that community as well.
By the way, you're from Los Angeles. You grew up Santa Monica. Santa Monica kid. Not everybody here's a tourist. Some people are from LA. and then you've moved around the country. And when you were a kid growing up, the Lakers were the brand, the Clippers were the joke. And today, I'd make the argument the Clippers have the better owner, the richer owner. The Clippers are more well-run. The Clippers draft better. When you look at the city now and the teams, are you kind of shocked? Did you ever think you'd get here?
No, and it's been that way for a while, right? The Clippers have been a better team. The Lakers had a better season this year. But, you know, if you look at the last, I don't know, 8 years or so, the Clippers have been the better franchise more consistently. But, Colin, as you know, living out there now, it's still a Laker town.
Yeah.
And I think it would take 12 straight championships for the Clippers to be able to wrest that title away from the Lakers.
By the way, I've always wondered this. So south side of Chicago is White Sox, north side is Cubs. But if you did a poll in Chicago, who's more popular, Cubs or White Sox?
Oh, it's clearly the Cubs.
Oh,
and,
it is. Okay.
And you know, you'll even see some Cubs gear on the south side. You know, the White Sox are more of a pocket, but fiercely loyal fans in that region. But the Cubs are not just a bigger team in Chicago, but they're a national team, Colin.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Going back to the WGN days.
Yeah, that's right. J.A. Adonde, Director of Sports Journalism, Northwestern Medill School of Journalism. Always a pleasure talking to you. Have a great weekend.
Great to see you. Thanks, Colin.
You bet. Yeah, I guess I knew the Cubs were. Have you gone to a Cubs game, by the way, Joy?
I haven't been to a Cubs game.
Let me tell you something.
Cubs game, no.
If I had to name three things I've done in my life, I've gone to. The coolest things in sports. It's not the biggest games. Wimbledon. It is so British. It is so cheeky. It smells, looks, feels, tastes. It's so British. Wimbledon would be one. I think going to a Cub game is two. Going on, sitting on behind the Cub game, the Wrigley Field, and then like those buildings beyond that.
Yeah, I'd like to watch a Cub game from
Waveland Avenue.
Rooftops, yeah.
Wrigleyville. It is.
It's so cool down there.
Oh my God! It is a complete and total Chicago. Chicago is one of the great bar towns, restaurant towns.
I love Chicago.
I think Chicago is the best party city in America.
I love Chicago. I was just in Chicago this year.
Yeah.
For the All-Star game.
You were.
Yeah.
You know,
it was a little bit chilly.
My wife's a Chicago girl.
Yeah.
They're all feisty.
I love Chicago. I prefer Chicago in the summer.
Oh God!
It was so cold. It was like unbelievably cold.
Well, but the summers they have on the Navy Pier, they have these incredible
Lollapalooza.
They have these huge concerts. It may be the best summer town in America. It is the best good time town in America.
It is a good time.
Yeah. And it is also a cold time town. Winters are a little cold.
A little cold.
Lake effect.
Yeah.
Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Was it last winter in Chicago where it was literally like a state of emergency? It was so cold. Or was that two winters ago? You remember that?
Aren't they all?
No, it was it was like more than usual. Like they had to get everyone off the streets. Like it was an advisory. Like don't go outside.
Well, they always
so
say
cold.
In Chicago, you got to be careful when you walk down an alley and you come around the corner of a building because
the wind.
And not just the wind. The wind will be minus 38 degrees. My wife's always like, when in Chicago, be careful when you walk around in the winter around the corner of a building. She goes, it will take your breath away.
Yeah, it was the 2019, what was it, Healy? The polar vortex?
Oh, yeah.
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 High of minus 14. No, thank you. I am not built for that. So before the NBA players decided to continue with the season, Michael Jordan was reportedly an important bridge between the players and the owners during their discussions. He spoke with the Players Association president, Chris Paul, to get a better sense of what the players were hoping to achieve and offer some assistance. And Jordan was said to be the voice of reason.
Reason.
And urged his fellow owners to listen to the frustrations of the players before offering any of their own solutions.
I like that.
I do think...
Listening, yeah.
I think we're seeing I won't say a new Michael Jordan, but a different Michael Jordan.
He understands the temperature of the room.
Right. So people have always pointed to Michael. People who don't like politics and sports have always pointed to like Michael. Oh, Michael's the greatest ever, and he's not involved in politics. It's not really entirely true. Michael Jordan just does a lot of his social stuff and community stuff on the low.
No,
he just does it.
Michael's written a lot of checks for politicians. You just don't hear about
it. Right. He just does it. But not even politicians. Just stuff in the community and social awareness issues. Like he's very involved, but he'll just put out a statement. Donate and kind of move along. He doesn't make a big deal of it. But as of lately, he has been much more involved. He's been way more vocal. And I think it's important that, not only is he an owner, but he is still, obviously, we just watched The Last Dance. I mean, when you think of the NBA, you think of Michael Jordan.
Well, people have said this to me. Colin, you've gotten more political in the last 6 months. America has.
Yeah.
And I am doing a show to connect with America. I'm not going to... The Drew Brees story, the Kaepernick story, this story. I try to have you and I... What's the temperature of the room today? And if the country is talking about it, I'm not going to break down the AFC North. Like, there are days that you have to discuss it. The country is becoming more political. Michael senses it.
Right.
And Michael's being engaged on these issues.
And he has... an organization.
Yes, he's an NBA owner.
That care about this. So it's not a matter of if he wants to be involved with this or not. All of the owners are involved at this point. So it's a good thing, though, that I think that he is using his voice in that space, because not only is he obviously Michael Jordan and an owner, but he's a former player as well.
Yeah.
So and I was listening to Taylor Rooks' report on NBA TV. And she was saying that he wanted to be in the room not just as a player and as an owner, but as a black man. Like, he was speaking as a black man as well. So that having his voice and the power that it has in that call and, in those talks is vitally important. So Many NFL teams have canceled practice in response to the shooting, and Saquon Barkley addressed the possibility of NFL players following the NBA's lead and sitting out games when the season begins.
I can't really just go and speak on behalf of the whole league, but, you know, I mean, for us, that's something that we're going to talk about within our group, within our team, and, you know, what's talked about in players in meetings and players meeting stays and players. Going on with what the NBA did, definitely commend them for doing that. You know, we've been given an opportunity with our leadership group and to be able to talk to the team and, you know, try to figure out the things we can do to try to help.
So you talked about this earlier.
The headline's much more dramatic
than what he's saying. He's saying they're talking about what they're going to do and how they want to get involved and how they want to handle it.
I've been encouraged by the NFL, not to interrupt you, but I think it's always better. Every company I've worked at, I've always thought it's better when the employees trust and work with management and ownership. That's all athletes are asking now. We'd like to work with you on some stuff. And by the way, we're making you billions.
Right.
The best place to put money in the world right now, in the world, is American sports franchises and English soccer team. That's what all the rich people are doing. They're putting it in because you can't trust the market. You can't trust real estate. You got craziness.
And contrary to what Twitter says, sports aren't going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere. And so basically what athletes are saying is, listen, man, we're getting rich. We're making you rich. Can we work together on some stuff? And I'm not just encouraged by athletes. I am encouraged by the commissioners.
Yeah.
Who, remember, commissioners are paid by the owners. And Adam Silver and Goodell. Goodell did not ask the owners when he talked about the Kaepernick issue.
Yeah.
He didn't ask for the owners' approval on that. And maybe not all of them loved it. The NFL owners tend to be more conservative than NBA owners. But this is a healthy relationship so that owners listen to play. You can't just buy a sports team because you want to pile it on your portfolio. If you're buying a sports team,
that's a life commitment.
And it's a commitment to human beings who are, do you know how lucky you are to have De'Aaron Fox as a face of your billion-dollar Sacramento King franchise?
How many billion-dollar companies have
a 24-year-old? So it's like all players are saying is, hey, I'm making you money. You're paying me. Let's work together on this. I'm good with it.
And what are we asking for? Make the world a better place.
Yeah, it's not like a big ask.
How dramatic.
Could you treat us better? That is outrageous.
So finally, Ben Roethlisberger has talked about how great his elbow has been feeling recently. He thinks one thing needs to be complete before he is totally ready, and that is he hasn't been hit by a defensive player since week 2 of last season. And he looks forward to that happening again. He said, getting hit and calming the nerves are going to be big for me. Well, he's on the wrong team. You head right over to the New York Giants. They will tackle their starting quarterback all up and down the field. That's the plan, apparently. According to Fox Bet, he is the favorite to win Comeback Player of the Year at plus 275. Cam Newton plus 400.
I don't want to see Alex Smith on there. He shouldn't be playing. I'm not even comfortable. Listen, it's not like Washington's good enough to watch anyway. But I'm going to turn their games off.
Matthew Stafford's plus 800. I don't know. It's
Stafford will put up some numbers.
Yeah. When I look at that, I'm trying to think where I would put my money. I think it's probably Cam.
I think
it depends on how much you trust the Steelers this year, because Comeback Player of the Year is going to be somebody who has.
Well, Ben's going to throw for yards because he has a good O-line.
Yeah. Where is he going to stay healthy all season?
I don't know. I'm a little bit of a cynic on this Ben thing. I'm not.
Steelers fans were not happy with my brutal honesty.
What did you say?
Well, the other day I just said, like, this is, you know, I love the Steelers. I'm from Pittsburgh. Okay, I've watched the Steelers my entire life. But, like, we can start having honest conversations about the Steelers have under-delivered.
Thank you.
Okay,
for like 7 years.
I mean, can we just keep it real for 5 minutes? Not to be so sensitive all the time.
I want to start saying that more, because when I say let's keep it real, I feel younger.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
I don't know. Let's try it out. Let me see how you sound.
I'm lit, and let's keep it real. I feel 12. I love it.
You can't throw me off with it. We're not doing lit anymore. I think you can say it. Let's keep it real.
How about once a week?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to overuse it.
Don't overdo it.
But
don't put any emphasis on it. Just say it like, just let it just
like roll
how? Out.
Like how?
Just like how I did. Just say it like, just it's like it's a normal part of your vernacular.
So you don't say.
I mean, like, let's keep it real.
Instead of like, In this moment, I am keeping it real.
It's fine.
Okay. Goulet, what, you got a problem with that?
Maybe stop calling younger people young people, because nothing makes you sound older than that.
That's true. That is true.
That's funny. All right. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
I got a lot. I can't get the lit right. I can't get the keep
just
it real.
We're totally done with lit. I think you can do. I'll allow keep it real.
Can I do the emoji with fire, though?
Yeah.
All right.
I think all emojis are.
What about the 100?
Not all emojis. I'm sorry I said that. Most emojis are on the board for you.
Do you know one time I did a middle finger emoji and did not mean to? I didn't have my contacts in, and somebody said something, and I was trying to do the finger to point, like, this is right, and I flipped somebody off. I didn't even mean to.
Did you have to apologize?
And the woman's like, are you flipping? And I'm like, well, hold on. Let me put my glasses on. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I was trying to go this, and I ended up going this.
It's kind of wild they have a middle.
That's what I said. That was that's Steve Jobs' problem. That's not my problem.
Yeah, it's just weird because I mean, who
at Apple?
Who even gives someone the middle finger? Like, who does that? It's so weird.
I think people still do it.
Who are you doing that to? In traffic?
You cut somebody off in a small town.
If someone flipped me off, I would laugh so hard. Like, okay. Ooh.
I think, I think we have people who do that.
Okay. Well, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Jason McIntyre is coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Lowe's made it easy for me to tackle an at-home do-it-yourself project. You can do the same. Go to Lowe's.com. Check out my Twitter. Let's take a picture of the bar cart. Jason McIntyre, we call it Tomorrow's Headlines Today, is now joining us via the Coward Global Satellite Network. What's up, my man? How are you?
You know, I heard you enjoy talking about middle fingers. And you know what's far more effective? Somebody cuts you off, you give them the thumbs down. I guarantee you they will be ticked off because you don't expect a thumbs down. You're like, a thumb? What, me? Bad driving? Like, people get very angry. The thumbs down is very effective. I'm being dead serious.
All right.
I did it to someone. They were fired up. Like, they didn't see it coming. Middle finger, you're like, whatever. Bleep you. But the thumbs down is really disrespectful.
Learning things every day on this show. All right, it's called Tomorrow's Headlines Today. What's it going to be for Baker and the Browns this year?
You know, I feel like we talked about the Browns a lot last year, but we're going to be talking about them more this year, Colin. The headline will be, turn those Browns upside down. The 17-year drought of not making the playoffs, it ends this year for Baker and the Browns. Colin, you remember how everybody was all in on Cleveland last year, even the TV networks. They had 4 primetime games last year. That's been cut this year to 2. Nobody believes in the Browns. I'm all in, baby. I really do like this team.
Yep.
Baker Mayfield, new offensive tackles. The schedule, 3rd easiest in the league. Colin, they're playing the Bengals twice, obviously, but then they play the Jaguars, the Giants. If you look at the over-under totals, they have a cakewalk schedule. There's a lot of value betting on Cleveland this year, as opposed to last year.
Tomorrow's headlines today. What's the headline going to be for Big Ben and the Steelers this year?
Yeah, I'm shocked you and Joy are not all in on Pittsburgh. I mean, come on, guys. You're missing out. The headline will be stealing the AFC North. Now, I've seen you talk about the Ravens going 16-0. That's not happening, obviously. But the Steelers winning the division, that could happen. Colin, they almost made the playoffs last year with 2 jokers at quarterback. Now you get Big Ben. Remember, 2 years ago when he started, over 5,000 yards, 34 TDs, career highs for this guy. So I'm not buying that he's very old thing. And the wide receiver situation, I love the kid Chase Claypool. They drafted out of Notre Dame, Juju Smith. Last year, they couldn't run the football because everybody knew it was a run because the quarterbacks couldn't throw. They're going to really have a good season. I think they could win the AFC North.
Tomorrow's headlines today, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers this year. What's the headline?
Boy, I got so much hate from Packers fans this week. I put out a Fox video saying Packers are in trouble. The headline will be Lambeau letdown. I'm sure you saw the Jordan Love stuff this week from Packers practice. He's struggling. Colin, think about this. This is a 13-3 team last year. They swept the division 6-0, and they go out and draft Jordan Love, and he stinks it up at practice. You got to look to the front office and be like, guys, we're close to a Super Bowl last year. I know we were a little overvalued, but we still won 13 games, and you draft this, and this guy's not even contributing? and the next pick you got was like a 250-pound running back, the Packers have big problems. I don't care what Aaron Rodgers says. The reality is that team's got some trouble, Colin.
Tomorrow's headlines today. What's the headline for Phillip Rivers and the Colts this year? This could be fun.
Yeah, this easiest schedule in the NFL. Yep. That's a key to remember. As such, the headline will be Old Man Rivers. I love Phillip Rivers this year. Everybody wants to say he was washed last year, 20 interceptions, led the NFL with 7 picks in the fourth quarter. But now he goes behind a real offensive line.
Yep.
T.Y. Hilton is healthy. And remember, last year, the Colts started 5-2, Colin. They were good. They beat the Chiefs. It was like, oh, what do we have here? The defense wore down, so what do? Your buddy Ballard trades for DeForest Buckner. Great run-stopping defensive lineman.
Yep.
I'm telling folks, like, the Indianapolis Colts will be in the playoffs. That's a fact. It's not an opinion. They have the easiest schedule in the NFL. Phillip Rivers, obviously an upgrade from Jacoby Brissett. All in on your Colts this year.
Yeah, there's also some dysfunction in that that division. That's a good division to win.
Yes.
Tomorrow's headlines today. Finally, Drew Brees and the Saints this year. What's the headline? We got a minute left.
Yeah, I tried to sell the Jets as the final headline. It didn't quite work, so I had to go winning the Super Bowl. The headline will be, who dat gonna win the Super Bowl? I like the New Orleans Saints. Colin, they're the forgotten team in the NFC, are they not? Everybody's like Brady to the Bucks, and Dak Prescott didn't get his big contract, and people are forgetting the Saints have the most wins in the NFL over the last 3 seasons. I think it's a perfect storybook ending. Drew Brees has said he's retiring, just like Elway, okay, just like Peyton Manning. He wins a Super Bowl, and he rides off into the sunset. I like the Saints, overlooked right now, to win the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, they also brought in Emmanuel Sanders, who is a smart veteran receiver who worked instantly with San Francisco. That's another bonus, an offensive bonus. Good seeing you. Have a great weekend, buddy.
Enjoy your vacation, pal.
There you go. So he's got that. I got the Ravens winning the Super Bowl. He's got the Saints winning the Super Bowl. And Joy and I, neither of us buy the Steelers, and Jason McIntyre does. Thanks, Joy. We are off next week. Back on Labor Day. See you then in L.A. It's the Herd.